Bethany, and this is my story. Whenever I was growing up, I did not have the most stable at-home life, not the most stable childhood, me or my sister. We kind of lived with multiple people. We went through the foster care system. Life wasn't the easiest. I remember my sophomore year of high school, I was sharing a room with my sister and my friend, because I was living with my, we were both living with one of my friends at the time. And I was just, it was during COVID. I was very depressed, I was sad, and I never gave Jesus a thought. It wasn't something that I really ever thought about. I didn't go to church. I knew who Jesus was, and I knew some of the stories, but I just never gave it thought. And I remember I was sitting on the bed and I was crying, and I was like, just telling myself, like, I don't have anyone. You know, I was upset. I was angry that I was like forced to be living in the conditions that I had to live in. And I'll never forget, I just heard it, it was like a random thought. It was a voice. It was like, but Jesus loves you. And I remember after like it came up and I kind of like stopped crying for a little bit, and I just had this like peace. And it didn't make any sense because I hadn't felt peace in so long. After hearing that and, you know, feeling peace, it was like I still lived there and my circumstances didn't change, but I don't know, I was like happy through the chaos. It didn't make any sense. I don't know. And I remember I moved back in with my family, and my mom was like, we're gonna start going to this church called Radical Church. And I didn't wanna go. And she was like, you're going to, like, there's a youth camp and they're gonna pay for you to go to youth camp. We went to a few services, and I just remember every sermon that Pastor Trevor gave, I would just cry the entire sermon. I couldn't help it. I would try not to cry, but I would cry every single sermon that we attended, every week that we went. I sat in the chair and he would cry because I just felt like the sermons were directed at me. It was news I'd never heard before. I felt hopeful, and I never really felt hopeful because of what I had gone through and what I was going through. And I remember when we went to youth camp, and that day that I got in the van to go to youth camp, that was the first time that I met Pastor Rachel. It was really awkward. There's like five people in the van, didn't have any AC. And that youth camp changed my life. It was the first time that I actually like declared that I was giving my life to Jesus. And it was also the first time that I let go of a lot of stuff that I was holding on to that really hurt me. They had us write down all the things that hurt us on a paper. And I thought we were just gonna tear it up and praise the Lord. But I remember they said, now give it to one of your leaders, one of your youth leaders. And I was just, I said no, because I didn't want anyone to know like what I had been through or what I was going through. And finally I gave in and I gave it to Rachel, and I just remember she like cried with me and she prayed with me, and it was like I walked away from like that moment, and I felt like those things like didn't have a stronghold on me anymore. And I felt like Jesus actually healed me like of the things that I went through, and I didn't know that that was possible. And we came back from youth camp, and I was like, I'm sticking here at Radical. I want to stay here. I want to lead. I want to help. I want to be a part of like what God's doing, not just for my own life, but like for others. I started leading at Radical Youth, and you know, I had my times where I would, you know, be absent for like a month of church. You know, I wasn't perfect. I was still in high school, and it was also hard for me because I didn't have transportation. I didn't have a lot of resources. I was still like, yes, like I was happier because I had Jesus in my life and I was healed from these things. I knew I didn't have to hold on to them, but my surroundings didn't really change. And the church, on one of their miracle offerings, they gifted us a car. We had no idea. We were very surprised. They gifted us a car, and we were able to go to youth. We were able to bring our friends, and I got to see some of my friends that like I never would have, never would have thought, like, encountered Jesus the way that I did and like be vulnerable at youth group. I mean, at this time youth group was like 5 or 10 kids. It fluctuated between 5 or 10 kids. And, you know, getting older, so I became an actual leader, like an adult leader. And I am now seeing that same revival in like people encountering Jesus for the first time, like as a leader, like standing on the outside. And I remember that was so just like mind blowing to me. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember when that was me. Like I remember whenever I gave my paper to Rachel. I remember whenever I gave that to God and when I said yes to Jesus. And I'm seeing this and it like, seeing it makes me emotional, but I just like praise God. The Rad Youth has just grown like quickly and exponentially, as Radical Church has too on Sundays. I mean, we can barely fit. Last Wednesday, we had like 100 kids. And I think it is important to look ahead because it's like, I'm already seeing like stories and paths that God is paving, but it's like, how many more can we make room for? We want to make more room for more students. We want to make more room for more people on Sunday because I think everyone should hear the message like of Jesus. And I think that, I mean, I don't want to imagine what my life would have been like if I had not sat through those sermons whenever we were in Negley. And like, I think everyone should have the chance to hear that and have the chance to say yes to Jesus because I mean, it changed my life. My surroundings didn't matter. What I was going through, it didn't matter because I knew that Jesus has had and has a will for me and he's still paving a way for me to go. And I just think that should be an opportunity that everyone has and we need more room.
So my first time watching that video was last night when Pastor Tim sent it to me and said, hey, where do you want this in the sermon? And I could already feel the Holy Spirit working because what she was talking about was exactly what God had been showing me. And God had been speaking to me as I was preparing for this sermon, preparing for this message. And her life just matched the Gideon in the Bible, and Gideon's who I'm going to be preaching on, and the freedom that she found, and it was just so powerful. So today we're going to be continuing in the altar series story about a very powerful story about Gideon in the Bible. It's not a very popular one, but it's very powerful. We're going to be talking about what happens when God completely changes the direction of your life. Imagine with me for one moment, you're walking in the grocery store and you're halfway through the grocery store getting all the things that you need. And you remember something from the very beginning of the grocery store. And you have to literally do a 180 and turn around and go back to the beginning. You can get frustrated. You can feel overwhelmed or frustrated and say, look at all this progress that I've made. Look at all this progress that I've made. Look at how far I've come, what I've been doing. This is the direction I thought I was supposed to be going. And sometimes we have to turn around and go back to the beginning. And how that can be scary and how that can bring a lot of fear. But God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Today we're going to be in Judges 6, 11 through 23. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and give us into the hands of the Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel from the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Menash, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive." Today, the title of the message is Paradigm shift, doing a 180. Dear Lord Jesus, God, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is already here, is already working in confirmations. I thank you and praise you that you are going to open our eyes and our ears to see and hear what it is that you want for us. God, let there be nothing of my words, but everything of your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you and praise you for all of it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. All right, so one thing we need to understand about Gideon is that he had never known freedom. Just like Bethany was talking about, that she had to experience, she hadn't experienced freedom until that moment when God spoke to her. He was hiding from the Midianites. He was actually in the wine press where you were supposed to press wine. He was hiding, threshing the wheat, right? Taking the grain away from the wheat and threshing the wheat. He was in a place of hiding because he had been captured and he had been a slave pretty much for his entire life and he had never known freedom. And yet, he's in this hiding place and doesn't seem very courageous to me, but yet God calls him a mighty warrior. In other translations, it says mighty man of valor. So one thing, my first point today, if you guys are taking notes, is God sees in us what we can't see in ourselves. The angel of the Lord met Gideon in his hiding place. In June of 2020, I believe that I was in my hiding place. We were 3 months into the pandemic, and if you guys can think back in June of 2020, maybe you were in a hiding place too. There was a lot of fear, there was a lot of uncertainty, and there was a lot of isolation. We were on a family trip and in the mountains in California. And to my later knowledge, my sister had asked my mom if she would consider moving to Texas. And so my mom came to me in the living room and she said, "Hey, Rachel, would you ever consider moving to Texas?" And I looked at her and I said, absolutely, like dead in the eye, I said, "There is no way in a million years that I would ever move to Texas." And I think that that moment that God just kind of just laughed at me, right? I just seen a post recently that said, if you say never to God, he's going to have you nevering like you never nevered before, right? So I just kind of like laughed it off. I know I kind of felt something, but I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I just, you know, imagine like dirt with a tumbleweed, like just going down the road, like that's my what I imagine Texas to be. Even the thought of moving from California to Texas was in a lot in and of itself. But even to do that with the pandemic on top of that was absolutely terrifying. After this, me and my husband started to see small signs. We started to see things like license plates to literal signs to like moments where we could almost predict what they were going to say. Like this one guy came up to me. He's like, "You will never guess where the guy from the IRS was calling me from." And I'm like, "Was it Texas?" And he was like, "How did you know?" I'm like, "I don't know," you know? So it was so many signs to the point where we're like, oh man, we have to check this out. Like, we have to go see if God really is calling us here because I don't want to be outside the will of God, right? We knew one person. Me and my husband started talking, and we were like, okay, we know one person in Texas, literally one person, and it was his middle school friend. So he calls his middle school friend, and he's like, "Hey, what's up, dude? Like, can we, like, come visit you, stay with you in the middle of the pandemic, like, hang out, you know?" And he's like, "Yes, absolutely, yes." And we're like, okay, cool. And so we're like, oh, we can't go without Emmanuel and Diana. So we're like, "Hey, Emmanuel and Diana, you want to, like, come with us to Texas?" And they were like, "Yes, yes, we do." And I'm telling you right now in this room, get you some yes people. Get you some yes people that are going to say yes, that are going to back you up when God's calling you to do something. Mind you, at the time, it was COVID, so tickets were only like $50 each, which was super nice. This is a picture of us on our way to Texas. That is us. We looked good. So we came out and we visited Texas. We went and saw Austin, of course, and San Antonio. But one thing we knew, we were like, we have to like research churches in the area, because like if God is calling us here, like that is our number one priority. You know, me and my husband were youth pastors for 8 years at the church that we were serving. As a pastor's kid, my kids are very involved in church. Like, that was our home away from home. And so Emmanuel just, like, shows me this picture on his phone. He's like, look at this church. It's launching in September. And then there's Trevor and Lindsay. And it says Radical Church. And I'm like, ooh, Radical. Okay. Like, I was like, I don't know about that Radical, but okay. And so we kind of just went about our day, enjoyed our trip, and came home. We liked it, but we didn't feel like we had any confirmations when we were here. Like, we just felt like, hey, we liked it, but there wasn't, like, any actual, like, real big signs to tell us, like, this is your home. And so the morning of August 1st, I remember very vividly, I was in my bathroom getting ready because we were about to go shopping for our youth group's Vision 2020 camp that we were going to leave to that weekend to. And Udi came in and he's like, so are we moving to Texas? And I was like, my answer was like, there's no way that I'm leaving everything and everyone I've ever known unless God makes it extremely clear and that there is a paradigm shift. And Udi just kind of looked at me, and it was a phrase that my mom had told me, because she was... my dad was a pastor, and my mom was, like, so not on board with being a pastor's wife. And God had to do a complete redirection of her heart, had to do a paradigm shift in her life and show her real signs to make it so that she was on board with that. And it's something that just stuck out to me. So I explained to him what a paradigm shift was. A paradigm shift is a significant change in the way people think about or do something, replacing the previous way of doing things in a new way. I needed a real sign. I needed a real sign, one of those big ones that would completely change the way that I was thinking. He got kind of frustrated with me, and he's like, Rachel, that's not the way that God works. And he just, like, left the room. And I thought to myself, I mean, Moses got spoken to, and there was a sign of a burning bush. Like, can't God talk to me like that too? If he's wanting me to uproot my entire life and take my children and move them across the country to a place I hadn't known nothing about, then God can show up and give me a sign, right? Let's look at what God did for Gideon when he asked for a sign. Judges 6 says this. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord says, I will wait until you return. Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord torched the meat and unleavened bread with, then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he explained, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it still stands in Ophrah of the Eberites. God showed up in a big way. He went from being scared to building an offering and calling it peace. Just like with Bethany, went from being scared, alone, depressed, anxious, to feeling peace when God spoke to her. I was afraid. I was afraid to uproot my whole life. And I needed a big sign just like Gideon had. So that morning, we ended up going to Sam's Club for the youth supplies for camp. At the time, I had my nephew, who my husband and me adopted, so he's our son, and one of our leaders, Abby, with us, Daniel and Abby. And we go to Sam's Club, and we're going back to the car, and we're unloading our stuff into the car. And a lady comes up next to us with her cart, and she has a piece of meat and a watermelon in her cart. And she looks at us, and she's like, I wish that I had some strong guys to help me. And so they offered, and she just laughed, and she said, I'm just kidding. And she just looked at me and Udi, and she's just like, I'm moving to Texas. And me and Udi were like, oh, like, and Abby was with us, and we were trying to keep this, like, hush, hush, because, I mean, we had a youth group, like, we had, like, our whole lives there, so we were trying to keep it on the down low. We kind of looked at Abby, we were like, uh-oh, like, and she's like, put in your applications and get out now, and she starts, like, pointing out of the parking lot, and so I was like, okay, like standing there in shock as she continues to talk, and she talks about her nephew who's in the Air Force and how she was going to be a nurse in Texas. And come to find out later that Daniel, our nephew, had been praying that morning if God wanted him to be in the Air Force because he'd seen sign after sign. And so there was a confirmation there. That morning, Abby had asked God, do you want me to continue in the nursing field? And that was a sign. And she kind of just like looked at us, and she looked at them one more time, and she said, your kids are beautiful. And she got in her car and she left. At the time, they were just friends. Now they are married and have a beautiful baby girl, and they are our kids. So that woman, we believe that either she was an angel or she was like Elijah. She was like tuned with God, like, you know, prophetic speaking all the way. And so we kind of got in the car, and me and my husband were like trying like not to like talk about it because Abby didn't know, you know what I'm saying? And so... so we're just sitting there in shock, like, okay, and we start to drive, and she's like, hey, I didn't want to say anything, but when I saw the picture that you posted, this picture, God told me that that was your home. At this point, I just started to cry, and we started to tell Abby what God was doing in our lives. We had more shopping to do. And sometimes when God calls us to do something, we can't just neglect the rest of our life, right? We still have to continue to do things in our life. And so we had more shopping to do. So we're kind of talking about it, and we get to Smart and Final. You guys don't have one. It's a California thing, I think. I don't know. I go inside to Smart and Final. And as I'm inside, Abby starts to tell Udi, like, you guys are going to go to Texas to be pastors. You're not going to go take over a church. You're going to help to build a church. And and then he just like looks at her and he's like, but I don't understand. Like, she said, get out fast. Like, how fast? Like, when are we supposed to go? Like, is it now? Like, you know, and she looked at him and she said, God's telling me it's before the seasons change. So I get back in the car. Udi had not seen the picture of Trevor and Lindsay or Radical or that it was launching in September, so he had no idea. But when I got back in the car and they started to talk about what God had said through Abby to Udi, I just started to cry again. I said, they are launching a church in September that's going to need to be built. And I just started to cry, and we continued on the road, on the 41, back home to Carruthers. And Abby, just out of nowhere, she's like, wow, that was a paradigm shift moment. And Udi just, like, he's driving, and he breaks down. And we're like, and I know why he's breaking down, but he's, like, breaking down, and he's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, like, that I doubted that you could show up like this. I'm sorry, God, that I didn't believe that you can show up like this. So that year at camp, we ended up going to camp. We had teenagers to take to camp. We had 20 of them. We watched as God continued to confirm. We had our theme was Vision 2020. One of our leaders got out of her tent. She like opened her tent. She was like, that, I know you were asking us to ask for dreams and visions from God, but that definitely wasn't spiritual because you move states. Like, and me and Abby kind of looked at each other, me and Udi kind of looked at each other. And so that night, that same leader, Kaylee, she was with us as we were praying over the students and stuff. And I felt like one of my biggest fears, again, another fear was my teenagers, my youth group. And my dad had always told me this, that it's not mine, it's God's. But I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, Rachel, it's not your youth group, it's my youth group. And so I was like, okay, God. And as I was trying to pray over students, her and her husband just started praying and prophesying and speaking over students at the campsite. And I was just like trying to like find a way to like go pray for students. I'm like, I'm the youth pastor, I got to do this, you know? And my husband just grabs my arm and he pulls me back and he says, Rachel, do you see what's happening? And again, here I am crying again. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Like, God has already provided what needs to be provided before we step away. So my next point is go in the strength that you have. In verse 14, God tells Gideon, go in the strength that you have. Am I not sending you? During this time, we had no idea what the future would hold because my husband was a school bus driver and there was no school. It was pandemic. He applied for a job in Austin and he ended up getting that job. At this point, we had made a decision. After these signs, we made a decision. And once you make a decision, the choices are very easy after that. Once you make a decision to give your life to Jesus, the choices become very easy because of what he's done for you and how he showed up and the peace and the love and the joy that you feel. And he ended up getting a bus driver job in Austin. So we go out in the middle of September. We go out for training for his new job. At this point, I'm telling people what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling them what's going on. My dad finds out. He is not happy. I'm not only taking four of his grandchildren away, but I'm also the youth pastor and admin at the church, of the church that he's the pastor at. And he needed his own confirmation. So one day we were at Starbucks, and this woman came up to me, and she said, are you a God-fearing woman? My dad was with me, thank God. But... She's like, are you a God-fearing woman? And I said, yes, I am. And I had never really thought of it that way. But in actuality, that is the biggest thing I fear, is to be out of his presence, to not have his presence, because I could not imagine my life without his blessing, without his love, his joy, his peace. So yes, I am. And she said, well, I believe that you're going to need my resources. Here's my phone number. I used to work for Christ for the Nations. Like, are you going to be working with youth? And I was like, yes, I am. Like, are you going to be building stuff? Yes, I am. And so she gave me her phone number. And my dad, from that moment on, he was like, I'm in. I get it. Like, I see it, right? So God's not only faithful to give you confirmations, but he's faithful to see the people in your life that you love, to give them confirmations as well. September 16th, 2020, we fly to Texas on our way. Me and Udi hold hands, and we're like, okay, we're going to Texas. This is the thing I said I would never, never do. We're holding hands, and we're praying. We're like, God, where do you want us in Texas? It is the biggest state in the United States. Like, it is big. Where do you want us? And I kid you not, they start singing Happy Birthday to a Boy Named Kyle as we're praying. I cannot make this up. Me and Udi look at each other and we're like, like crying, like, okay, God. And so we're like, okay. And on that airplane, God told me 129. He said 129. And I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what 129 is. So we started, you know, looking for it in times of the day. Like, you know, so I'm like, I don't know what it is. So I'm just going to put it in my pocket, save it for later. We got to Texas and Udi went for a training for his job. When we got there, they said, hey, we kind of forgot you were coming. And so we were like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, the trainer's not going to be here till next week. We're like, well, we flew from like California. And they're like, sorry. So we get in the car and I was just like mad and just frustrated. And I was like, God, what in the world? And God reminded me as we got in the car, we were pulled over on the side of the road. We were holding hands, praying again. And God reminded me of a time when I was laying on Diana's bed trying to put my daughter Harley to sleep. And I heard God speak very clearly and say that he was going to give us a home for ministry. So I looked at Udi and I said, let's go look for a house. We Zillowed three houses and we walked into the last one and we felt the Holy Spirit so strongly. We had made a decision, so now the choices were easy. We said, we don't have a job, but we're going to put an offer on a house and be obedient to the Lord. We put down our earnest money and started our escrow on our home and flew back to California. And my next point is, your little is much when God is in it. In Judges, it goes on to talk about how Gideon starts with 32,000 men at his disposal. And God calls him to strip it down to 300 men who use trumpets, jars, and their voices to defeat 135,000 men because they got confused and ran in all different directions. So we thought, hey, Emmanuel and Diana are going to go with us, right? God made it very clear, no, they're not going with you. They have their own amazing story a year later of how they came out here and what God did and how God showed up for them. You make sure you guys ask them about it. It's awesome. But they weren't going with us. And then, well, at least we get to go as a family, right? And God said, no, strip it down again. And so Udi's friend had offered Udi to come out and to stay with him and to work with him at his work until he, like, found a job, got some training, and did, like, interviews and stuff like that. So we decided to send Udi on October 2nd of 2020. This is a picture of the last day as California residents all together. That morning, he left to go to Texas to find a job. So our escrow was contingent on that he would find a full-time bus driving job. So that is what we were believing that God was going to give us. And he left and he came. And we ended up being away from each other for about a month and a half. I believe that God gets more praise when we're stripped down. God is the only one responsible for getting Udi, Gideon, and Bethany to step out in faith. He ended up getting two jobs, and he was in a place where he had to decide again, right? Make a choice again. And both jobs were offering him part-time with the possibility of full-time. And it was Westlake and Del Valle, I don't know how you say it. And that night when we were praying about, I wasn't from here, guys. We were praying about which one he should go to. There was a football game on, and Westlake won. So we were like, at this point, we're looking for signs everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, it's definitely, like, and then, of course, we felt the Holy Spirit, like, okay, it's going to be Westlake. Ends up that job gave him opportunity to train, and now he is a commercial mechanic, the thing he's always wanted to be in his life. So when we make the choices that God puts before us, when God gives us signs and we go in the direction that God's calling us, the blessings are tenfold, I'm telling you guys. As I was packing my house, getting all the last minute details in order, I got a call from my lender and was like, hey, like, we're not going to be able to do this. You know, mind you, my husband's already gone. The house is almost already packed. I lay on the floor of my daughter's room, and I'm just, like, frustrated, and I'm like, I don't understand, God. And I think that the big thing to remember is God wants your honesty. Honestly, Gideon asked God for 3 signs. He shows up in big ways, but he asked for another sign. And God's saying, hey, like, I want your honesty. I want your honesty. Come to me, even if you've seen the signs before, even if you're frustrated, like, I want to have a relationship with you. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, get up, Rachel. I was like, okay, I'm up. I'm like staring out the window. I'm up. What do you want me to do? And he's like, call your realtor. So I call my realtor and she's like, oh, okay, don't worry. We'll get another lender. I'm like, oh, okay. I've never bought a house, guys. I have no idea what's going on. At this point, I'm like, okay, I'm showing this picture, this Zillow picture that we have put our down money on, or our earnest money on, and I'm like showing everybody, literally, like, this is the house that God gave us. This is the house that God gave us. Like, I had no proof that God gave us that home yet, other than that God had promised me that he was giving us that house. Much like a couple weeks ago when Pastor said, look at this land that God has given to me. Right? That is the kind of faith that God asks for. That is the kind of, that is when you make a decision, those choices to, oh, show the congregation that photo, those are the choice. Like, honestly, I remember when he did that in 2022, was it 2021? I remember him doing that and me saying, oh man, I'm completely bought into this church, because I knew what kind of faith that it took to do that when you don't have the evidence. So God called me at that time to fast coffee. And God had told me, like, hey, you're using this as an idol. Like, you're rushing to it first thing in the morning before you even come to me. And so he called me to fast coffee until I got the house. So I was like, oh, man, all right, this is going to be for the long haul. He said that I needed to lay that down. So a lot of times God asks us for sacrifices. God says, hey, like, I need you to sacrifice this in order to hear my voice more clearly. We ended up being away from each other for a month and a half. We had been on escrow on our home for 2 months. And we got another call from the lender again outside of the mall. I collapsed. Get back up, Rachel. Do it again. And I believe that all along, Udi was here, and he was paving the way for our family. And both of us had to make a choice to understand that praise is our greatest weapon. So that's my next point, is praise is your greatest weapon. He started paving the way for our family to come, and he started coming to Radical Church, and he was just by himself, and he just kept telling everybody, like, my family's coming. My family's coming. My family's coming. And Pastor Trevor was like, do you think he has a family? Like, he's like asking people, like, I don't know about this guy. Like, he keeps saying every week the family's going to be here next week. And so he kind of looked like a crazy guy, but he was paving the way for our family, let me tell you, and praising through it. One of the biggest things that we came into a hard place about was a U-Haul. So if you guys know, in 2020, U-Hauls were almost impossible to get out, to go out of California. And everybody kept asking us, like, how are you going to get a U-Haul? How are you going to get a U-Haul? And I was like, I don't know. God gave a vision. He'll bring provision. Like, I don't, everything else he's been doing, so I can't stop at a U-Haul, right? So I went to, it was a friend that wanted to take me out for lunch before we left. She was a teenager's parent. And she said, we started talking. She had no idea we needed money for a U-Haul or anything like that. And I started telling her a story that my grandpa had told me. It was about a man who God asked him, do you believe in me for a 2x4? And he said, yes, God, of course I believe in you for a 2x4. And he said, do you believe in me for 2 2x4s? And he said, yes, God, of course I believe in you for 2 2x4s. And he's like, do you believe in me for enough 2x4s to build a house? And he's like, oh, God, I don't know about that. Like, that's a lot. And she said, Rachel, stop. And I was like, oh. She's like, just hold on a minute. And I was like, oh, okay, like, everything okay? And she's like, this morning I got a deposit in my bank for child support that I was not expecting for $2,240. And all I keep hearing you say is 224. And God's saying to give you that money. And I just was like, literally, like, I just was speechless, and I'm sitting there, and I opened the card that she gave me, and it's a $200 Visa dollar gift card. And that money, combined with that money, was the exact amount we needed for our U-Haul. And I could not deny this, the song that we were singing earlier, cannot deny God in my life and God showing up and giving me signs when I ask for them. November 19th, we pack our U-Haul. I pack all my stuff in the U-Haul. My kids, my mom, and my dad come with us, and we start leaving. In 2 hours, we're 2 hours out because we were supposed to close that week. We're 2 hours away from home on our way to Texas. And I get another call. It says, you're not going to close this week. We need to do more things. And I had a choice again. Do I go back or do I keep going in faith that God's going to do it? And so we decided to keep going because, again, the choice was easy because I had seen God do too many things. We ended up having to stay with his friend. They are sent from God. We stayed with his friend for another month. So we got on the 19th, and on December 4th, my kids were literally enrolled in school already. Like, we were living with them. Like, we had all of our stuff was in a storage unit. We were just waiting and waiting on God. And on December 4th, I remember very distinctly, I was laying there and I was again frustrated. And I'm like, God, I don't understand. You said you were giving me this house in September, in the middle of September. Like, this is not normal for escrow to go this long. Like, what are we doing? And he said, Rachel, what did I tell you on the airplane? And I said, 129. And he said, 129. This was December 4th, Friday, December 4th, and a light bulb went off in my head. And I ran down the stairs, and I went to our friend's wife, and I was like, we're closing on the house on December 9th, 129, 129. And she's like, did they call you? And I said, no, God just told me. And she was like, oh, all right. So it was crazy because we got the ability to even minister to them as well as they were pouring into us. And like, they got to see how God showed up in such a real way. And on that same day, on December 4th, I didn't say this in the previous service, but I wanted to make sure to include it on this one. God said, I want you to start drinking coffee again because I want you to know that you are not getting this house off of your deeds. You are getting this house because of the glory of God and the grace of God and his provision. And so I started drinking coffee. But to this day, let me tell you, I do not pick up a cup of coffee before I praise God. Because that was a long 2 months, let me tell you. So my last point is your plans make sense before, but ordered steps make sense after. Ordered steps make sense after. Gideon conquered the Midianites. God provided us a home. And this is us on December 9th, the evening of December 9th. It was a Wednesday, moving into the home, the promised land that God had provided. And then the next picture is, that's us on our first official in-house week to Radical. So that was us about to come to Radical. I'm telling you guys that home has been used for ministry. That when Bethany was talking about earlier, when she said my youth group, her youth group was in that home. For 2 years, we had youth ministry in that home, and we saw lives change just like Bethany. And we've seen those become adults and now pouring back into the church. We've seen the faithfulness of God and the provision of God in such a way that we can't even explain or tell you. And even tonight, we are now using our home for Rad Young Adult. So God continues to use our home. And I just want to show this picture with a rainbow real quick. This picture was taken in August of this year just as a promise and a reminder of what God can do and will do when you pray, listen, and obey. pray, listen, and obey. God is talking. God is talking, but the question is, are we listening? Will it take something as big as COVID like it did for me? Will it take something as big as, you know, hiding in captivity like it did for Gideon? What is it going to take for us to get into a hiding place? God calls us to go into a hiding place with him. God calls us to have that connection with him. So today, I just want to give you an opportunity. This song, they played the first service. I just want to just sing this song because it's so important to remember that God orders our steps. And I don't want to be outside of his presence. I don't want to be outside of the joy and the peace that God has. I remember like 6 months in to being here, and Trevor said, hey, can we talk to you guys? And me and Udi were like, yeah, if he asks us to be the youth pastors, we're not doing it. This is our time. We just need some time to rest. Like, it's been crazy, you know. We need to focus on our family, this and that. And so Udi was at work. He wasn't able to make it. And I was driving to Hat Creek, and we had made this decision. Like, you know, like we had forgotten everything that God had said and God had done and what, you know, God had promised. And we just took the blessing and kind of just were like, oh, yeah, we're here now, you know. And I was driving, and I heard God say, how dare you? How dare you say no? And so as I'm hearing God say that, I'm like, okay, I call Udi, and he picks up the phone, and he goes, I know, babe. I know. So God works in confirmations. God is so faithful. So today we're just going to sing this song real quick, and I want to just believe in this for you. Really believe in this for you in your life, that you would allow God to order your steps. They may not make sense right now. Maybe God's calling you to start a new business. Maybe God's calling you to start a family. Maybe God's calling you to step out in faith and do something. Maybe God's calling you to give this altar initiative. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do, I just want to pray. I just want to worship. I just want to sit in this song for a moment before we leave. Dear Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Jesus' mighty name, order our steps, Lord. God, we trust the author of our lives. We trust the next chapter because you are the author, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Can I invite you to stand and worship with us today?
Trusting God, the Savior, the one. That our God is a trustworthy God, that He is the one that is the author and the finisher of our faith, that He orders every single one of your steps. He orders all of my steps. And in the same way that He ordered Rachel and Udi's steps and their family steps from California all the way to Texas, man, I believe that God is going to order your steps. He's going to order your family steps. He's going to order your kids' steps. He's got the whole world in His hands. Come on, we got to believe that He's got my world in His hands too, right? He's got my life in His hands, and He's got my steps ordered. Sometimes it's easier to believe on a large scale, but do you believe for yourself? Do you believe for our church today? And so I just want to encourage somebody here in this place. I believe that as Rachel has shared her testimony today, the Word of God says that there's power in the blood of the Lamb, which is what Jesus has done for us, and then in the word of our testimony, which is what Jesus has done in you, amen? And so I believe as she has shared her testimony today that there's power in it to build faith in somebody. I just believe somebody needs a little extra faith to take that step of faith that God's calling you to take. Whether it is, like she said, to start a business or to start a family, or maybe, I said it last service, I'll say it all four, a man of God to get down on a knee and to ask this girl to marry you. Come on now, you've been putting it off for too long. It's time, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you just need a step of faith. You just gotta take it. And I just believe God has that for somebody here today. I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe it is to give to Altar next week, and it might be a stretch. It might be a step of faith for you. But man, I just believe that God is going to do something powerful in your life if you will let this testimony really sink in to who you are. Just say, God, will you give me a sign? Lord Jesus, would you give me visions? Would you give me dreams, Lord? Would you speak to me? Lord, I just believe in so many ways that God will speak to us. Just the Holy Spirit speaks in a small, still voice sometimes. And I'm grateful for that. But I'm also grateful when God speaks very, very clearly to me as well. Come on now. And I believe that God is going to speak very clearly to somebody here today that would be bold enough to just ask. And say, hey, God, would you speak to me? Would you lead me? Would you help me? So I'm going to pray for you one more time as we leave today and pray a prayer of blessing over you. Father, I thank you for every person here today. Thank you that as we have trusted you, as we have faith in you, not in our plans, God, it's all about you and it's all about your plans for us. There's a family here today and many more of their family members that have moved here today because they said yes in obedience to you. The same way that Abram, you spoke to him and you said, go to a land I will show you. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what it was going to look like when he got there, but he went anyway and he obeyed. And so God, I pray that you would help us to just listen to your voice, to pray, to listen to your voice, and then obey when you speak, God. Somebody here today just needs a sign. Somebody here today needs a miracle. Somebody needs that still small voice of the Holy Spirit to say yes, to confirm something in their heart, to confirm something through someone else today. And Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that there would be miracles, signs, and wonders that would happen when people would be bold enough to knock on the door and ask. They'd be bold enough to say, hey, God, I need your presence. I need you to speak to me today. Lord, I believe that you're going to show up. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray favor and blessing over every family here, over every child over in Rad Kids today. Would you bless them, Lord Jesus? We thank you for what you're doing in our church and in our families. In Jesus' name, come on, somebody shout amen here today. Come on, God is good, right? Come on, come on.